Good evening.
Welcome
to our Lenten worship service tonight. As you know, we have kind of a skeleton crew, but we're recording it. And Bob Harms is going to be sharing his faith story with us tonight. Our theme this year is faith stories within the family. And so we've been looking at faith stories from the scriptures and also from members and friends of Emmanuel. So thank you, Bob. Thank you, Don, for recording our service for us, and Margene for playing. And we've got a nice little crew, I think, of 10 or 11 here tonight. And so that'll be okay because we've got lots of room to spread out here as well. Good to have you all here. They call this virtual worship, they call it worship. You know, so if someone has a little bit of a lisp or something, worship, you know, or maybe an accent. So we're having worship tonight, okay? And then I also told my Julie, she made some homemade soup today. And I said, you know, we could have done virtual soup supper, right? So lots of creative things that we can do during these times. But tonight's liturgy is once again Holden Evening Prayer, Revised Edition, and I would invite you to rise as you are able for our service of light. Page 2. Jesus Christ is the light of the world.
The light no darkness can overcome.
Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening,
and the day is almost over.
Let your light scatter the darkness,
and shine within your people here.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, triune God, we praise your name. You are worthy of all glory. Thankful hearts proclaim your grace. Blessed Jesus, Lord and Savior, mark us with your cross again. Fill us with the Spirit's power, resurrect us from the dead. Joyous light of heavenly glory, loving glow of God's own face, you who sing creation's story, shine on every land and race. Now as evening falls around us, we shall raise our songs to you. God of daybreak, God of shadows, come and light our hearts anew. In the stars that grace the darkness, in the blazing sun of dawn, in the light of peace and wisdom, we can hear your quiet song. Love that fills the night with wonder, love that warms the weary soul, love that bursts all chains asunder, set us free and make us whole. You who made the heaven's splendor, every dancing star of night, make us shine with gentle justice. Let us each reflect your light. Mighty God of all creation, gentle Christ who lights our way, loving Spirit of salvation, lead us on to endless day. The Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, from old you have led your people by night and day. May the light of your Christ make our darkness bright, for your word and your presence are the light of our pathways, and you are the light and life of all creation.
Amen.
Congregation may be seated for our psalmody, Psalm 141, Women, Group 1, and Men as the Echo, Group 2.
Let my prayer rise up like incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as an offering to you.
O God, I call to you.
O God, I call to you. Come to me now.
Offering to you. Keep watch within me, God.
Deep watch within me, God.
Deep in my heart,
may the light of your love be burning bright.
Let my prayer rise up
like incense before you,
the lifting up of my hand
as an offering to you.
All praise to the God of all,
praise to the God of all, Creator of life. All praise be to Christ and the Spirit.
Let my prayer rise up.
Let my prayer rise up
like incense
before you,
the lifting up of my hand
as an offering to you.
Let your loving kindness descend upon us, O Lord, and let the incense of our repentant prayer ascend before you, that with purified minds we may sing your praises with the church on earth and the whole heavenly host, and may glorify you forever and ever.
Amen.
At this time, then, Bob Harms will be sharing some episodes from his faith story.
Well, the last time I stood behind a podium and talked into a microphone was a far cry from tonight. Back many years ago, I think one of our kids was graduating, I belonged to the Rochester Council of Churches, and my job was to introduce the speaker and give the welcoming to all the students and parents. Well, I walked up the podium and I looked out and I saw 900 kids all in their cap and gowns. And I looked up in the balcony, and I saw all their parents and relatives. And as I opened my mouth, my mind went blank. And I thought, oh, no. But within a second, all of a sudden, I heard applause, and a speaker was shaking my hand and thanking me for the introduction. Well, that may not happen tonight, but if it does, it'll be a better talk. Well, one thing that I found that was really appropriate for this, and I had already written my talk once, but it read like an obituary. It, you know, started when I was born, when I got married, and all of that. But I read this, and I thought it was so appropriate, and I'll read it now, and then I won't be reading anymore. There's a book called The Power of Moments. It says that the moments, big and small, make up our lives. These moments get us to think more deeply and to learn things about ourselves separately and together that can have an extraordinary impact. And I thought afterwards, maybe what I should do is just string some of these moments together, and they make up a story, and a story makes up your life. And a faith is your life, seriously. The first thing I thought of was I'll get some of the important ones out of the way, the extraordinary ones, and then we'll go into the ones that are a little lighter. But back in 2009, I had an appointment to have my annual physical done at the Baldwin Building, and Dr. Mary asked me, well, Bob, how are you? How are you doing? And he said, and I said, Dr. Mary, I think I have a broken heart. And he was a little taken aback, and he said, well, what do you mean a broken heart? Well, let me tell you that the beginning of this year started out bad. My younger sister from Florida came up here to the Mayo Clinic and for a second opinion, but unfortunately, she died in January. And then a few months later, my youngest son, Kevin, committed suicide. And then my nephew, which was my sister Donna's only son, died of complications of diabetes. And then beyond that, my cube mate and really good friend at IBM died of a heart attack. And then my coworker from St. Mary's died of cancer. And to make matters worse, if you can imagine anything worse, that was the year Marcia had all her heart problems. And it turns out I had to take her to the emergency room 6 times. And so she had many stays in the hospital. So she ended up getting a hole repaired in her heart with open heart surgery, a valve replaced, and 3 pacemakers, all in 2009. Well, that left me to go to some of these funerals by myself because she was either in the hospital or not ready to go. And in the course of doing that, I was kind of looking with somebody I knew to sit with, because I had been to so many funerals by myself, I thought I should sit with somebody. And lo and behold, I found a guy out in the audience that I casually knew at IBM. So I sat down next to him. And after the funeral was over, we kind of had a chance to talk a little bit. And so we made a date to have lunch together. And so every month for the over last 10 years, we've never failed to meet. And so I thought, that's incredible. And what we started talking about was small talk, literally. You know, well, who do we know together? And what have you been doing since we saw each other last month? And it was meaningless. So we decided between ourselves to make it more interesting, and we talk about the most interesting thing that happened to us that month. And what a good idea that was, because now every day I was looking for something that I could tell my friend Bill, and he was doing the same thing. It turned out to be at first kind of pet peeves. Oh, a guy cut me off today and I was so mad, or something bad happened, and you know, but the funny part of it was, as we retold these things, they became less important to us. And I realized that now that I was spending more and more time thinking about the present and looking forward to the future, I wasn't dwelling on the past. And I don't know about you, because I can only think of one thing at a time. But it turns out it was really healthy, you know. One thing that I think really made me turn the corner is when I got done telling Dr. Mary of everything that had happened to me that year, he got down on his knees and took my hands in his and prayed for me. And I thought, that was better than any medicine, because all of a sudden I felt there was hope. Up to that time, because I was alone so much, you know, Marsh being gone, and one thing that I did learn that I wished I had learned long ago, people should build a support system, because Marsha had a beautiful support system, people rushing to her aid and all of that, and I honestly did feel a little left out. In fact, I even got a note from another father who had lost their son, and they said, so often fathers are forgotten when a child is lost. Well, anyway, to go back to Bill and I, it soon got to be like a see who has the best story contest. And so we were really seriously into it. And to tell you some of the major things that happened to me since 2009, in 2011, I was diagnosed with MS. And I said, oh, that's not very good news. The doctor showed me the MRI, and it looked like it had been shot with a shotgun or at least a piece of Swiss cheese. And I said, oh, that doesn't look good. He said, you've had it since you were 19 or under. He said, since you were a teenager. And he said, you have no symptoms. And your chances of getting symptoms at your age, I was 71, are very, very slim. So I thought, oh, if that isn't God working. And then maybe a year or two after that, I had stage 4 prostate cancer. And it was kind of almost do the surgery tomorrow kind of a thing when they call me, but had it done successfully with no bad happenings at all. No, it didn't spread to anything. And I had to sign off that they could remove any organs if they needed to. And then about a year after that, I had polyps removed from my colon. And the doctor said, oh, are you ever lucky? Those could have been cancerous and killed you in a year. Well, those are some of the big moments in my life, and I was able to share those with Bill. But I have to tell you a couple other stories that are a little bit more human, and that is, at the time I was delivering drugs for Eagle Drugs as a part-time job. I worked at St. Mary's in the day, and then in the evenings I was working at Eagle Drugs, supposedly as a fill-in for both. The one lasted 23 years, the other 11. But anyway, the time that I remember so well, and this is another one of those moments that come back to you when you analyze your whole life. I had a delivery at Fontaine Towers, and the guy was on the 7th floor. And I knocked on the door, and he said, I'll be right there. And all of a sudden, I heard thud. I thought, oh no, he's fallen. What do I do? Well, I tried the door, and it was open. So I went in, and he was laying on the floor, not moving. I have had some medical training, so I knew the right things to do. To make a long story short, I got him comfortable back in his recliner, and then I let the front desk know that I think somebody should be with him. I had to deliver a lot more prescriptions, so I couldn't really hang around there. And the girl at the front desk said, oh, his son is on the way up. I said, oh, thank you, God, you know, that he's going to get some help. Well, the following week, I was really anxious to go back just to see what had happened and how he was doing. And, you know, the least I thought might be a warm handshake or a hug or something like that. So I knocked on the door again, and the guy opened up the door and grabbed the bag and said, "You're late," and closed the door. I thought, talk about thankless. But life is like that. After I thought it about a while, I thought of all the other times when you're expecting something to happen and it doesn't. So Bill and I, once we get on a roll like that, think of all the things that people have not shown us any gratitude whatsoever. But anyway, some of the other things that I thought I might talk to you about is that I learned an important lesson, and that is you cannot get over grief and despair by yourself. And even though your support group is kind of small, like one, two is always better than one, no matter what happens. And the other thing, too, is that through all of this, I realized how God was acting in my life. I thought, at least he's put somebody in my life that's going to help me get out of this. Because with that many deaths all in the same year, and especially your own son and the way he died, it's not easy. And I could talk a long time about grief and despair, but I don't wanna. The next thing that I wanna talk about is just by doing that, by telling somebody else, by sharing, making the load a little lighter, and then forgetting about the past and concentrating on the present and the future really is a big help. The other thing I did at the same time was that, you know, I had to write Kevin's life story when he died. Do I want anybody to write mine? And so I started a notebook and gathering up drawings that I had done, artwork, things that I had done at different jobs that I had, and put them into a folder. And then I had letters in there and things like that. And I thought, I had done just a beautiful job. You know, I was really proud of that notebook. And one thing that I should mention is that I noticed that Bill and I were completely different, but we had one thing in common, and that is our wives told us we had to write our Christmas letters. And Bill said, "I hate writing letters," and I said, "I hate them worse than you do," because I waited till the last minute. But anyway, we started writing a letter, so I put all those letters, thanks to Julie in a way, in this notebook. And going back and reading them was really kind of refreshing because I had forgotten a lot of things that had happened to me during my own life. So I entitled the book I Never Knew That About Bob, in this folder. And it got to be this big until I had to go to a second binder. Well, I really thought of all the things I've done in my life, that was one of the best things. To be able to compile, things would show up out of nowhere, and I was just thrilled to open a drawer and find something that I had been thought was lost forever. And so with that notebook, I had a story of our history of our family, plus all hundreds of pieces of artwork that I had done for different companies. And I thought, you know what I'll do? I'm going to take it to the minister that gave Kevin's funeral in Pine Island, because he did a really good job, and I'm going to have him critique it for me. And it was just like the guy at the door. He said, "Well, Bob, this is everything you've done, but who are you? What's your legacy?" And I thought, oh my gosh, he's right. That's what I've done. It's not really me. So I thought, I'm going to ask the 10 most honest people I know who I am. And so I asked my grandchildren. Well, the first two that I asked was years ago. And these are just moments, remember, and I picked them out because they're honest, and kids are honest. They don't mince words. But anyway, the first one is Thomas and Andrew. I took them Christmas shopping, and I think Andrew was around four, and Thomas was six. And Andrew kept saying, Grandpa, buy me this. Grandpa, buy me that. Every time we walked by a toy, he wanted it. And his older brother, Thomas, said, forget it, Andrew. We're with Grandpa now, not Grandma. And the second one was their little sister. And I was kind of used to boys. We had three boys, and then my two oldest were boys. And we have a playhouse in our backyard. And Sarah said, Grandpa, can we play in the playhouse? Oh, I said, sure, that'd be fun. So she went out there, and she set a little table with tea and pretend cookies and all of that. And I was watching her, and she looked up at me in all seriousness and says, Grandpa, don't just sit there. Play with me. And I thought, there's a difference between boys and girls. Boys didn't care what I did as long as I was with them. Girls wanted somebody to play with them. And the next one that was kind of a important one for me because it answered a question that had bothered me, and that is with my granddaughter Maggie. And Maggie asked, Grandpa, let's go play tennis. They had a tennis court behind their house. I said, you know, Maggie, I'm really flattered because all my grandchildren really like to play me in games. She says, you know why, Grandpa? We like to win. So the next one that I thought of that was the younger brother of Maggie was Peter. And Peter did not like school. He really didn't like school. So he said, Grandpa, did you like school? And I said, you know, Peter, when I was in kindergarten, the first day, I ran home the first chance I had, which is a true story. And he said, you were probably homesick. And you know, he was right. I still get homesick real easily. Then the next one I talked to was Katie, the one that we're all praying for. And I love to tell stories to kids. I think it's an important thing to pass on. Just before cavemen drew things on walls, men were telling stories to pass on history. So Katie asked me, Grandpa, tell me about my mom when she was little, and I don't want to hear anything good. And I thought afterwards, you know, that's true for a lot of us. They'd rather not hear anything good. Then the next one after Katie, I have to make sure I don't miss anybody's name here when I go into this, was John. And John was kind of one of my favorites in a way. We've been close ever since he was a little bitty boy. But we were watching the TV, and I said to John, I can remember before color. And he looked at me, he said, well, Grandpa, when you were little and looked out the front of the cave, did you see everything in black and white? I said, no, shades of gray, and I still see things that way. And then the next one was his little sister, Julia. And Julia said, you know, Grandpa, you always look the same. I thought, well, thank you, Julia. That's really nice. I mean, your clothes. And then the next one was McKenna. And I had always fancied myself at really fixing things well. And I was having trouble with my iPod. And I was looking at it. And McKenna came over, and she was only about this high. And she said, Grandpa, can I help you with that? And I thought, well, I'll humor her. And I said, well, here, McKenna, take a look and see. And she looked at it, and she says, oh, Grandpa, we're in more trouble than I thought. And she pulled out her own phone and dialed the Apple customer service. And then she came back in about 5 minutes. They're going to send you a new one, Grandpa. I thought, here's that little kid. Why didn't I think of that? Because I don't like to ask for help. That's why I didn't think of it. And then the last one is Bridget. She's my youngest one, and she's something else. Because I was telling her a story, and then at right towards the end, she said, Grandpa, when is it my turn to tell my story? And so I say to all of you, you out there and in the audience and over the air, that now it's your turn to tell a story. And I'll be glad to listen. In fact, if you want to come over and look at my book and my folder, I'd be more than happy to have you come over. The only catch is I only pay minimum wage. So the last thing in my closing is, well, who am I really? You know, everybody sees you differently. Who am I really? And so I'm going to read this last thing, because if nothing else, try and remember this. The rest doesn't matter. But years ago, I was at the San Francisco airport. And when I thought back, it's been 50 years already, because I was 32 years old. And I had a black beard. I don't always have a beard, but I did back then when I was 32. And a little boy came running up to me and looked up, and in all sincerity, he said, "Are you Jesus?" And I thought, what do I say? But you know what I'd say now? I said, "I'm not Jesus, but we're related. I'm a child of God."
Thank you, Bob. Amen to that. We're not Jesus, but we follow him, and by God's grace, we are one of his children. And I've had the good fortune and pleasure of being able to visit Bob and Marcia frequently in their home. And so that's why I was really glad when my wife Julie asked Bob if he would share his faith story, because I get a chance when every time I go over there, we get to talk about Jesus, we get to talk about our faith, and we get to talk about the stories that have shaped and formed our lives. So thank you, Bob, and thank you, Marcia, for sharing your lives with the people of God here at Emmanuel. Let's rise as we are able, and on page 9 is where we'll continue, but we'll begin with our hymn of the day. And during Lent, we're singing hymn number 699, Blessed Assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my soul. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
And we continue with our liturgy in our bulletin on page 9. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
An angel went from God to a town called Nazareth to a virgin whose name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Rejoice, O highly favored, the Lord is with you. You shall bear a son, and his name shall be Jesus, the chosen one of God Most High." And Mary said, "I am the servant of the Lord. I live to do God's will. My soul proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in you. You have looked with love on your servant here and blessed me all my life through. Great and mighty are you, O Holy One. Strong is your kindness evermore. How you favor the weak and lowly one, humbling the proud of heart. You have cast the mighty down from their thrones and uplifted the humble of heart. You have filled the hungry with wondrous things and left the wealthy no part. Great and mighty are you, O faithful one. Strong is your justice, strong your love. As you promised to Sarah and Abraham, kindness forevermore. My soul proclaims your greatness, O God, and my spirit rejoices in you. You have looked with love on your servant here and blessed me all my life through. Glory be to God the Father, and to Jesus, Son of God. Glory be to God the Spirit, ever three and ever one. As it was in the beginning, shall be now and evermore. With our hearts we magnify thee, with one voice we sing, Amen.
Our closing prayers are found on page 11.
Hold us in love. In peace, we pray to you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For peace and salvation, we pray to you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
for peace between nations, for peace between peoples.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For us who are gathered to worship and praise you.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all of your servants who live out your gospel.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all those who govern that justice might guide them.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all those who labor in service to others.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Grant weather that nourishes all of creation.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Keep watch on our loved ones and keep us from danger.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
For all the beloved who rest in your mercy.
God of mercy, hold us in love.
Help us, comfort us all of our days.
Keep us, hold us, gracious God.
Each day at 4:31 p.m., the friends and family members of Emmanuel gather together in prayer. And if you're listening tonight to our service, we invite you to send me an email, PastorDaveStephenson@gmail.com. I'd love to include you in our time of prayer, 4:31 p.m. each day, based on Acts chapter 3, chapter 4, verse 31. Let's pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Praise and thanks to God.
May God the Father bless us and keep us. May Jesus be the light of our lives. May the Spirit of truth be our guide and path for all of our days. Amen. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.